So I'll just read through my notes. This is kind of about truth and how important truth is. If there be one error in your understanding of God, you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, who is the Word and the truth. Sense. One error in the truth is not completely true, which God is. This is why the Holy Spirit leads into all truth, bringing to remembrance the entirety of Scripture, manifesting the Lord to us. So we see this, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So in John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we see this in John 6:63. If the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So, Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life. But many false Christs have entered into the world, all deviating from the truth, which is God, to climb up another way. The elect, however, abide in God and God in them, and they're able to resist it. So we see this in Matthew 24:23-24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So Satan knows that one deviation from the truth, which is God, will mean destruction. So slight twists or alteration to the word of God and its meaning has been his tactic from the beginning. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Revelation 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Therefore, adhering to the truth, which is God, abiding in his word, Jesus Christ, being guided into all truth, again, which is God, by the Spirit of God, also God, will lead to the manifestation of the one true God, and not a false, semi-holy God of the modern church systems. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So those are some of my notes.
So truth. Everybody would agree that truth is like really important in Scripture, right? Old and New Testament?
Yes.
So I have a question. The Old Testament, if you were a prophet, you didn't preach the truth, you were stoned to death, right? Adam and Eve are tossed out of the garden for one sin. In Leviticus 10, some priests are killed for one false fire off strange offering, strange fire. All over the Old Testament, guys stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. You get into the New Testament, we all know Ananias and Sapphira are killed for one lie. We talk about that one lie will put you outside of the kingdom. I have a question. So where did things go wrong in churchianity? Where did truth get thrown to the curb, and how, to what extent? How did Satan succeed at this? What do you think? So wonderfully. I mean, he took like the major pillar of God, the truth, and he has basically destroyed it. How did he do that?
One really small step at a time.
Yeah, explain.
Well, he doesn't ask you to just jump into like a massive heresy. He asks you to compromise in one small area, and then a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
That's true. That's true. Any other thoughts, brothers, how he accomplished this? I'm kind of going, that's a great point that Brother Zello said. I'm kind of going for another point that I think he helped do it. Any thoughts on how he pulled this off? Look at Churchianity. We talked about it yesterday. We don't even know anybody. I don't know if the sisters were here when we were talking about that. I imagine, were we on the phone or what? We were saying we don't even know anybody that preaches the biblical gospel that we could unite to, let alone people that we're like close to in the faith. How did Satan pull this off? Millions of, maybe multi-million, well, not multi, many, many millions of people claim to be Christians, yet they're not carrying the truth. How did he pull this off?
The lust of the flesh.
I'm sorry?
The lust of the flesh.
You're kind of going where I was going, Brother Kuo.
I was going to say he changes the definitions. If he can't directly affect maybe the word, or at least he can't twist it without people noticing, well, maybe to change the definitions in the culture over time, and then that'll consequently change the word of God.
Yep, there's truth to that, too. Yep, that's another aspect of it, Brother Zelos.
Ye hath God said, and then you can actually do what you want. God didn't actually mean that. All right,
so you're going right where I was going. You guys all got a little bit of a piece of where I was going, but here's where I'm going to go. Ready? How did Satan pull this off? He changed the focus. God's focus was always his character, nature, truth. What did Satan change the focus to?
Us.
Man. What pleases me? Look at all the denominations and look at the gospels, the wrong gospels they preach, and look at the doctrines. It's almost always man-centered. Satan changed the focus from being God and holy and true and righteous and just to, I want a God that loves me and accepts me undeniably, or I'm going to take this part out of the Bible because I don't like that part. The focus was changed. Satan came right after man and knew man's Achilles heel is his heart. His own selfish, wicked nature, that he loves himself more than he loves God. And Satan said, play to that. Play to that. Teach him to focus on themselves more than on the truth and holiness of God, and I got him. And that's what he did. And we are like the exact opposite. Us believers, the true ecclesia, we hold on to truth more than anything. And people go, you guys are crazy. You'll never have anybody like that. Wow, you're so extreme. Yeah, we just believe the truth of God's word. What do they hold on to? I think, I feel, I believe. My uncle started this Baptist church. They're all holding on to man. What did Jesus warn about? Man-made traditions. What do man-made traditions, what do they placate to? Man. Look at the two big holidays, Christmas and Easter. Are they not fleshly centered and man centered? Because it makes it all about my faith in God and what I love about it. Whether it's the Easter bunny, candy, sunrise services, little babies in a manger, Santa Claus, trees, easy believe gospel. So I think Satan knew that he had to go after and switch the whole narrative and move it away from truth and move it to something that people would be much more palatable with, and that is their fleshly heart, their sinful, carnal, fallen nature. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at all the false religions of the world. They're all self-centered and man-made. They're all of man. New Age, Gaia, Hindu, Buddhism,
Islam. They all give the flesh what it wants.
Satan knew it. Satan said, I'm going to throw the truth to the curb by giving man what he wants, his flesh. And then, like Brother Zella said, a little at a time, he faded the truth of God out. And people bought the lie of how easy believism, easy grace, greasy grace, universalism. And then he also, over the years, like I just witnessed to a guy, and he told me, oh, the Bible's not even true. Satan also found a way to undermine the Word of God, just like he did in the garden. He found a way to undermine the Word of God with lies of translations, missing books, Catholics burned a bunch of stuff, all this foolishness. Yeah, Brother Cool.
And he also reinforced it with positive reinforcement for those people that do add to the Word of God, change it, or come up with false Christs. I mean, it says in Matthew 4, verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
Yeah.
So he's given all this popularity to heretics and wolves and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that kind of plays to the flesh, like you were saying, of like,
yeah, look at Satan. He does the opposite of what God does. God says, truth is my standard. Satan says, I'm going to make up a bunch of lies. God says, do my ordinances. Satan says, I'm going to let everybody do man-made religion. God says, lower yourself and be a servant below. And Satan goes, I'm going to have a bunch of rich and famous guys that are false teachers that are going to lead everybody astray. God has Christ and the Holy Spirit. Satan's going to come up with an antichrist and a false prophet and false deception. Satan always does the opposite of the Father. And so that's why he went after the truth and undermined it and gave man what he wanted to take its place. That's a flesh-pleasing, man-made doctrines. And if you can get away from that, you can get back to the truth. You don't get away from that. If you don't break out of that, you're never going to find the truth. You're never going to see it. Make sense?
Yes. To throw a different kind of just perspective on this, did you read 1 Timothy 4:16, Brother Cool? Is that where you're going, Brother Purgos?
You mean the verse that's on my gospel cards? You mean, take heed unto yourself and unto your doctrine, for in doing so you'll both save yourselves and those who hear you? You mean the verse I saw in an unbiblical church that...
Wait, are you teaching works-based salvation? Sound doctrine saves me?
Where I was going with it is I did a study once. I think I have an article on it, on the importance of sound doctrine. And, okay, it's interesting. Doctrine and instructions and commandments are used pretty much interchangeably in the Bible. Okay? So, doctrine, instructions, and commandments... interchangeably. When you're talking about doctrines, instructions, and commandments, you're talking about the Word of God. Because it's God's Word and instructions. You're talking about God's words.
Can I add one more in there? Ordained? Yeah. Ordained? Ordinances?
Yeah, it's instructions, ordinances, teachings, words, instruction, doctrine. The words are used interchangeably. It all comes down to the Word of God, who is Christ Himself. To compromise on any of those, to compromise on doctrine, ecumenism, to compromise on the commandments of God, the Word of God, is basically to compromise and to deny Christ Himself.
Yeah.
That's more important. Oh, by the way, there's another one, truth. That's where I was going. Truth, God's truth is His Word. It's what He teaches us. It's what His instructions are. It's His doctrines. My doctrines are truth. There's a scripture, I believe, that says something to that effect. The Word of God is truth, right? Thy word is truth, Jesus said. To compromise on any of that is to compromise on Christ and God Himself and to deny Him.
It's John 17. Thy word is truth. By the truth, by the word, we're sanctified.
Yeah, so I like that verse. It's 1 Timothy 6:14, I believe. I forgot the numbers now. It's like, yeah, people say doctrine doesn't matter. Well, Paul says it actually saves you.
Explain. What if somebody said, oh, it saves me? What do you mean? Oh, you're being saved by your works? Is that what you mean?
Well, no, but doctrine is truth. It's instruction. It's the Word of God. If you abide in the Word of God, Christ is the Word. You're abiding in Christ. If you don't abide in Christ, you're not going to have salvation. It all ties together.
Yeah, take them. If anybody ever challenges that, 1 Timothy 4:16, it's a great verse. And they go, oh, what do you mean? You're talking about works-based salvation? Take them to John 15, where Jesus said, you must abide, and which means remain in me, and me in my word. Abide in me, and if you, and then he goes on to talk about, you want to be my friend, keep my commandments. So yeah, the truth is inseparable from God. The truth is inseparable from salvation. The truth is inseparable from God's people. You cannot separate them. And if you do that, then you have a false God, a false salvation, a false gospel. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, truth is a great study to, it really separates God's people from all of the cults, obviously. Because what happens, well, what happens when you don't focus on the truth?
Lies.
You believe the lie. And what did Paul's coming? Great lies, deception. So the people that don't cling to the truth, they're going to be part of the great deception. That's why Jesus said, if it was even possible, the elect would be deceived. We're not going to be deceived. Why? Truth is our standard. We will not compromise on truth. We will not be deceived. We might be killed. We might be beheaded. We might be tortured. We might be thrown in jail. We will not be deceived.
What? Brother Pergos?
One more way that Satan maligns the truth: false signs and wonders. Me and Brother Akua were looking into love the other day, and I'd like to read a few verses from Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. People seem to think that, oh, Jesus showed up for this person in their basement. Well, God wouldn't let there be false signs and wonders to dissuade me. He must be right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're naive, aren't they?
Yeah, it's called strong delusion for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and when these people talk about revival and signs and wonders, we got to remind them, Satan is going to have a revival of his false people, and signs and wonders are going to be done by Satan. Then the Father's going to take over with the signs and wonders in the tribulation. But Satan is the one that's going to be doing all the signs and wonders in these last days. Not the people of God, per se, because we know what is being set up all around us. It's so easy to see. And the truth is what's going to guide us and keep us from all that, isn't it? So if you were to compromise on the truth, could you imagine? Let's talk about this. So the truth, okay, yeah, the truth matters. Well, it's not just the truth matters, and you go, yeah, you think of the truth, you have Jesus, you have eternal life. So let's think about if you didn't focus on the truth, what would become of your faith life? Just pick a topic.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. If you didn't focus on truth, you would basically be rejecting the Spirit of God. You couldn't really have a faith life.
Yeah, I mean,
be hypocritical.
Yeah, you know, pick a topic. Holidays. Well, you know, I don't really care. Christmas and Easter, it's got Jesus' name in it. I guess they're okay. So now you're doing pagan holidays. You know, dress. Well, you know, we can't be too careful on how we say we can dress. Now we'll dress like the culture. My point is, what separates God's people from the world and churchianity is the truth. You start compromising on the truth, you go right back either where you were or you go worse. Oh, you know, head covering. I mean, come on, women take their head coverings off. Do I really have to stay out of the world? Come on, how bad is professional bass fishing and watching the NFL? I mean, it's just your life would just erode to where you don't hardly have any truth anymore. I don't think we realize how great a buffer and how great a pillar of truth is for our life. I mean, you probably know it, but if you really pondered on it, I mean, truth for the believer is like oxygen for your body. Try going without oxygen very long. You ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it long as a believer without truth. And so I think we really need to, yeah, get that vision of how important it is, and it's why we strive for it, study for it, pray for it, seek it, teach it, preach it, and it's why the world hates it so much, because it's the standard. God's given us this standard, and everybody wants it down here, but God says, no, it's actually way up here. Come on up. And it's a glorious thing to have when you walk in the truth.
Amen.
Don't you feel free?
Let me talk about that. I was actually just thinking about that. How the truth sets you free. I'm not sure if anyone wants to raise their hand if this is relatable, but like when I first started believing and seeking God's truth, I like went into just about all the wrong places. And you listen to like a dozen, more than a couple dozen of these different false teachers, and they've all got this different mindset, and they're all teaching different theology, and they're all contradicting one another, and they're all claiming to use scripture, and then you end up with like half a dozen incompatible philosophies bouncing around your head, and you don't even know what you believe anymore, or what is truth anymore, or any of that. And then you put it all completely aside, you toss it in the garbage where it belongs, you just pick up the word of God, and you just read and obey and study God's word. You don't need their theology systems, you don't need all their man-made interpretations and twistings, you just need the scripture, the truth, and the spirit, and it's freedom. It's like you're set free from all of the bonds of man-made religion and a confusing mass of, like, as I said, incompatible philosophies and theologies.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. I think Brother Kuhl could speak to that.
Yeah, I actually just listened to the audio of first talking with Brother Tupos and like kind of examining myself, like what I was saying, and I was all messed up in my theology, and I just a verse came to mind here. Let's see. Let me go to, I think it's in John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's not quite the verse I was looking. I think there's a verse talking about how the Lord tells us these commandments that our joy may be full, and he talks about like the peace that we have. And the thing about following all of these people that are off the mark, you never have that peace of God, you never have that inner joy, that inner cheer, because you're not out of your sin. They don't teach you how to come out of your sin, and you're still in error, so you're not following the whole truth, which is God, and you just never have that peace and joy. And that's what you get from the truth as well. And that's part of the reason it sets you free, is because you're confident in the truth. And I just thank God for that, because I was really messed up in a lot of things.
Amen, brother. Amen to that word of truth. So those audios can be helpful, can't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. There's your modern teachers. After the traditions of men, there's your modern churchianity. After the rudiments of the world, there's being worldly and mixing it with the ways of man, or with the ways of the church system, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead, the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. When you're walking in the truth, you have harmony with the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. That's why the truth sets us free. We have harmony with our Creator. When we walk in sin and lies and error, we can't have harmony. We're not according to the Word of God. And so we don't even have the favor of God. We're not going to get the grace of God when we live outside of His truth. And it's like a homing beacon back to our Creator, the truth. And it's amazing to me, like when you know the truth and you hear somebody preach the truth, it like resonates. The Holy Spirit like resonates it in you, and you go, I got that. I know that. I agree with that. Then you hear somebody teaching lies, and then what happens? You go, it's like ding, 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 an alarm goes off, and you go, Dad, no, that is not the word. That is not the truth. And it's like the Holy Spirit is like a filter. His word is like a filter to you, and you can filter out all the garbage of your life, whereas before it would just get through and you would just swallow it or eat it up. Now it's like a filter, and you can walk in the pureness of the word. It's pretty awesome. It's not awesome. It's amazing. Being free.
Amen.
Because sin just weighs you down, and walking in holiness and righteousness in the truth, it sets you free. It allows you to have a clear conscience before God. Hey, guess what? It makes you worthy. Worthy of our side of the covenant. That's our job. Right?
Yeah. To compromise in truth or to put it aside is to put Christ himself aside.
Yeah. Amen. That's to deny him, right? Have you thought about that? Not being in the truth is to deny Christ.
Are you denying truth?
He is the truth, yeah. Yeah. Anything else on truth? We could go on a long time, but...
Yeah, like, just the not denying it and how important it is, yeah. Like I said, I once did an entire study on it, an entire article, and I came to that conclusion that to even compromise and to compromise in sound doctrine or anything is basically to compromise in God and Christ himself, which is to deny him, which is like, you want to deny him, he'll deny you.
Yeah, and it's, again, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Everybody quotes Galatians 5, but Ephesians 5, 9, goodness, righteousness, truth. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit of God. Makes sense, doesn't it? He's the Spirit of truth. John 16, he is the Spirit of truth. I'm so thankful for the truth. The truth has set us free. The truth has changed our life. The truth gave us it gave us a purpose in this world to go and serve Christ and to be his workers of it. I mean, the truth is just so amazing. And knowing that Christ is the truth, it just all kind of comes together. And knowing how we can count on it, it never changes. And that we can die for it, and it's worthy to die for. That's one there right there, dying for the truth. Yeah, you're doing it right now. Yep, we all have died. We all lost our lives, and we died for the truth. But one day, we might have to literally die for the truth. Think of what a glorious thing that is. You're in the street, and some crazy man sticks a gun in your head and says, I will kill you right now if you don't deny the truth in Christ. And you may have the opportunity to die for the truth. That's pretty awesome to think about. Now, no, obviously, nobody is wishing or hoping that happens, although I ask God for a good death all the time. But just to have the ability to know the truth and thus then to die for it. Die in our flesh today and maybe one day literally die for it. I think that's something we all should ponder, because that's where we're all headed. Either our physical death or our martyrdom. It's something to really ponder. And I always tell men that you know you are living for the truth when you know you would die for it. Then you're living for it.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up, that, okay, you ask a lot of people, even, you know, they're not biblical saints, but they're like, oh, I could never deny Jesus, or I would die before I deny Jesus. But then you see them compromising on so much doctrine and truth. And then the question becomes, are you willing to die for God's truth? Rather than compromise on a truth or a doctrine, rather than deny what you know to be what the Word of God teaches, would you die for it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how are you going to tell me you're going to die for Jesus when you don't even care about his truth?
Yeah. Yeah, they can't, because they don't even have his truth. Yeah, so they're so compromised. And they're compromised because they're holding on to their flesh, they're holding on to their own ways, they're holding on to the world, and they have not the truth. The truth is not in them. So, yeah, what a precious gift it is, huh, brothers?
Amen.
And we get to live it, and we get to shine it to each other, and we get to go and preach it to other people. Oh, that's glorious. I don't know. There ain't much better on this side of heaven going and being able to preach the truth. I always feel like I'm just sticking my finger right in Satan's eye when I go right into the world and I preach right in his doorsteps. I mean, yesterday I got to preach right next to, I was 6 feet away from that governor. It was hilarious. And I'm just preaching. And the cop standing right there, and I was talking to the cop, and I witnessed to the FBI agent, and he got a gospel card. I mean, and it's like, I'm like, you know what, Satan? I'm highly favored. The Father lets me stand right here. People were calling the cops on me, and I'm like, call them. They're right there. They can't do nothing. Right now, they can do nothing. The door is open. I'm going to preach. And just to get to do that. And then we met that that worldly, that wicked street preacher lady out there, Cindy Schmack. She's at the Halloween party with her kids, and I'm like, wow, we just get to come out here and preach the truth. There's hardly much better. Maybe being with the brethren is really close to that on earth, but yeah, being able to preach the truth, it's awesome. I love to do it. They're not going to stop me.
when you preach the gospel, even just witness to somebody, it feels like this is the only thing worth doing.
Yeah, and I love telling my enemies when they get mad at me, even the people that look like they're going to get violent. I literally, it's the best line you could use, brothers. You ever get somebody in your face going, get out of here, we don't want you here, yeah, I'll punch you in the face. Literally tell them, ready? Say, the only way you're going to get rid of me is if you kill me. And they always, they look at you like, what did he just say? He wants us to kill him? I didn't say I want you to kill me, but I said that's the only way you're going to get rid of me. And they're like, man, these people are crazy. And unless they really are going to kill you, what are they going to do? They just turn around and walk away. They go, we can't stop it. We can't intimidate them. They're not afraid. We got to kill them or let them preach. And that's really what it is it not? How else are they going to get rid of you? You're not going to back down. Unless somebody could come, the police say, no, you're on private property. Okay, I'll move here, but I'm still not going to stop preaching. So the truth drives us to that for the glory of God. And that's what I love about it. And that was one of the things that, real quick, when Sister Amon and I first came to the Lord, that was one of the things we made our mind up on. We want the truth. We are not compromising. We want the truth. We knew Christ was the truth. We knew the Spirit was the truth. We knew the truth saves us. We knew we had to be in spirit and truth. And we said, we want the truth. And if you never compromise on truth, you will not be deceived. Sister Amon just gave me a thumbs up. Awesome. All right, we'll leave. Anybody else got anything on truth right there? Good topic, Brother Kubo.
Anything now.
All right. God be praised. We'll put this up. This will be a good one to put up in the Ecclesia gathering area.